I do this shit for Vegas. About to shut the world down. World domination.
What's going on, people? We are back at it again with the High Budtenders podcast. It is me, Jarrell, and you know I got my road dog, my partner in crime, Rocky. What's the deal?
Dude, everything is happening. That's the deal.
Yeah, it's just that time of year.
Vegas is lit up. We know what time of year it is. It's like Green Haven in Vegas because MJ BizCon is in town. And for us, it's kind of like the mecca of all expos. There's a lot of different ones that come through.
Yep.
But this one focuses on business, ergo the name. So it's a really great opportunity for a lot of new companies and a lot of old companies to share and get to know each other, kind of do the whole networking thing and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and upgrade.
Yes.
Yes, because there's a lot of new stuff out there.
Are you excited about it,
Jerome? I am. I'm always excited for MJ BizCon. Like I said, I like to see, like, the new technology, all the new things that's coming out and how people are being, like, innovative. So that's what I loved it, about MJ BizCon.
Right, and it doesn't hurt that, you know, Mike Tyson might be coming around giving you a high five at some point.
Yeah.
Fucking everybody's doing the weed thing now. Yeah.
And the best part is like the after parties too.
Oh yeah,
that's where you really get to mingle.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
Yeah, that's where a lot of deals are done.
Better FaceTime,
for sure,
is what I like to say, because then people open up after they've had a few drinks, maybe too much.
That's where the business happens.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of deals are done.
That's where the action happens.
Exactly. That's where the action happens, for sure.
Not at the show.
Speaking of the action happening, there are not two gentlemen who would not know more right now about that type of thing. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves because they are from Marino Public Relations in New York. And we wanted to have them on the show because we haven't had a public relations company on the show yet.
No.
And we've had a lot of them contact us to get in contact with us to find out, you know, about all the talent in the cannabis industry. But, hey, this is really what's going on, my guys. Please introduce yourself.
Super excited.
Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for that intro, guys. Jarrell, Rocky, appreciate you. Appreciate, you know, the fact that you're doing this podcast. 5 years, that's amazing. So congratulations.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having us on. My name is Jordan Eisenstadt. I'm a senior vice president at Marino PR. I founded our cannabis PR practice about 7 years ago, kind of saw what was happening in New York and New Jersey with both states legalizing or getting closer to legalizing. And so we got in, great moment, and we're part of the East Coast wave of what's going on in weed. So really looking forward to talking more about that and talking about, you know, anything. And Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Dave Kushner.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm Dave Kushner, and I'm a senior social media and influencer partnerships manager at Marino with Jordan, and get to work with a lot of great cannabis clients throughout New York and beyond New York, and great to be in Vegas for BizCon. This is my first time.
Oh, so, yeah, first time at MJ BizCon?
This is my first time. So
nice. And he's winging it. He said he's winging it.
I'm winging it.
What made you guys want to focus on the cannabis industry?
Do what you love, right?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, when I came to Marino about 8 years ago, and you know, in my background, I had worked in government, I had run a nonprofit, I had done digital learning for an Australian company, and then I landed at Marino, this you know, mid-sized kind of old school PR firm, but I saw that it was gonna that it was, you know, family owned, and that there was potential, and that we could grow and do some unique things and like flex some muscle, and so I came in initially to do public affairs. Higher education, labor work, like unions and whatnot. And, you know, rolling along, you know, our business is fine. And I saw that, you know, New Jersey was going to legalize, and New York, we had our medical program. And I was like, hey, guys, like, what if we did weed PR? And they were like, look into it. So I started, you know, I made a chart. And I was like, MSOs, and, you know, it was like Curaleaf and GTI, and, you know, I, like, learned about, you know, terpenes and started to learn, like, the nomenclature and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then after about, you know, a couple weeks of doing that, we got a call from a guy who used to work at McDonald's, which is one of our longtime clients, and he had just gone to this company called Paleotech, which became Curaleaf.
Okay.
And so that was actually our first client. And so they were in 5 states at the time, and then they grew to 19. And so that was our first client for about, like, our first year. And then we grew. We worked with a terpene company, worked with a vape hardware company, worked with a cannabis law firm. And so it just kind of grew organically as the East Coast market was growing. And, you know, we're doing some national work, some East Coast work. Then the pandemic happened. We got very involved with some advocates who were looking to legalize recreational cannabis.
Right.
And so, you know, we were part of this new wave, and we're helping all these hemp growers and hemp processors and retailers who graduated to become like the first wave of retailers and cultivators in New York. And so, you know, it was like opportunity.
Yeah, everybody's smoking weed because everybody's at home chilling, and fucking it was like a booming time for cannabis.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you all were getting hit up plenty.
Yeah.
During that
time. No, it was great. It was just great timing, and we kind of hit it right. And so, you know, there are some other, you know, cannabis PR firms out there. But, you know, we've really, you know, sort of looking to develop like more than just PR.
Right.
So, you know, we do influencer work, which Dave can talk about. We do, you know, social and digital work. So, you know, there's more than just PR. And I'm happy to talk more about, like, what PR is, because I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding of what that is.
Absolutely. Please do. Fucking loot.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. But, you know, I think the main thing that we're all doing on the digital team and the PR team is really is that we're telling our client stories. We're getting their messages out to the people that, you know, need to hear them. And that's really the unifying factor right there across the board.
Dave, is it hard to like toe that line with social media with all like the strict guidelines?
You know, it's funny, since when I joined Marino about 4 years ago, none of our cannabis clients really were doing any type of digital services. And it's like in the last 2 years really is that they've it's become a little less volatile, and they've really started to make that investment into it. And what you've seen is that the ones that have gotten that head start really have become leaders. But, you know, it's like you said, it's like any developing space, especially one that's controversial online as cannabis, you know, that's, you have to stay just like everyone has to stay up to date on all the regulations, where it's the same thing, you know, on the social media side as well. It's changing landscape constantly.
And I know that being in this industry, you've had some really good elbows with a lot of celebrity in the because you said influencer space, right? And literally, influencers are now becoming just micro celebrities. Like, they are just doing the damn thing.
They're celebrities. They're media publications upon themselves. You know, they're an outlet amongst. It's really a very interesting thing, and you know the I think what you said about PR being misunderstood. I think influencers also, you know, there's a lot of people are confused about what that means, what that is, what a content creator is, how many followers an influencer is. And it's all about like we said before, is just like people with the right audiences and being able to connect those audiences with the people who are in this, and people who are connecting them with the plant.
Absolutely. Makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, his work, like what fascinates me about our sort of growth into doing more influencer work, it directly corresponds with the fact that media is changing.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm sure you guys, you know, obviously you do a podcast, so you are media, right? But there's, you know, newspapers and radio and whatnot. And like, they're changing. Newsrooms are shrinking. There are less and less journalists out there. And so the opportunities to storytell, which is what PR is, you know, we can talk more about that. But like, the opportunities to storytell, a lot of it is becoming on the influencer side. And like, that's the authentic connection that like the consumer is really like looking for.
Absolutely. And then you were mentioning me right before we started, you were like, gonna give us what the PR, breaking down the PR, because I think that that's important for our listeners, especially those that just think it's, you know, you're just running into celebrities and you guys are like talking about fucking cannabis brands and how they can break into the industry.
Yeah. So an easy way that I use to illustrate it is called the PESO model, P-E-S-O. And so P is paid, right? Paid media. So that's advertising. Okay. E is earned. That's what PR is, and I'll explain that in a second. S is social media, and O is owned, and owns like your website and stuff like that. Earns media, it is literally earned. You didn't pay somebody to write that. You didn't pay someone to, you know, quote you in a story. You didn't pay someone to run your piece of thought leadership content. That is what earned media is, literally earned. But, you know, as I was saying before, PR is really, at the end of the day, it's all about storytelling. It's about telling the stories of our clients. And, you know, some of them are more B2B, some of them are more B2C. So it's figuring out, like, what's your goal? Who's your target? How can we tell your story in sort of the simplest way possible? And then what our mission on the cannabis side in particular, which I think will resonate with you guys, is that it's all about normalizing and destigmatizing through storytelling. And that's what you guys are doing, you know? Yeah. You're telling the stories, and you're helping people understand this, you know, highly misunderstood plant.
Right. Absolutely. Sounds like it's a big part of marketing. Like, it's a, they all kind of mesh kind of very well together with the marketing scene. So I think that, that when you folks walk into a dispensary and you see great advertisement for Steezy or whatever, somebody was behind that. It wasn't somebody at Steezy who was messing with the flower that said, you know what, I'm going to create this beautiful graphic, I think, of this flower here, and I'm going to post it up on, you know, some billboards and shit. There's a lot of processes and things that go into that actually getting to the billboard state, right? Yeah. So I think that's a really big part of that. And I didn't realize that until I got into marketing in the cannabis industry. And then I was like, holy shit, because they just throw you in. They're like, you do good graphics, you can figure it out. And you do. You just learn right away because you look at things and you're like, oh, my God, what is it that you need? Then there's the person that has to think about those thoughts because somebody has to come up with the concept for that fucking idea. Right? Yeah. So somebody's got to be oh, my God, I think you should. Then they tell the person who has to take the photos, and then that person has to come up with, like, the ideology of that thought on as a photo. So I think it's, like, such a big thing, and I think that you guys probably have a really big handle on all of that type of situation as well. I think it all kind of stems through because that's the one thing that's great about the influencer is that they're marketing themselves. Right. And so there's a good portion of that situation where they have a lot more control.
Yes.
The thing is what the fuck do you do with that? Right.
You know, it really gives an opportunity to speak directly to your audience or to the market. You know, when we have a dispensary that's opening up, let's say like in the suburbs, the biggest influencer might not be the biggest follower count person. It could be just the yoga studio owner who is in that town, who goes in and gets a recommendation from the bud tender and shows all of her followers that, like, oh, this isn't scary. And this isn't all about just getting stoned. This is all about recommendations for recovery.
Yeah, wellness.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's our favorite kind of influencer to do is to branch out to what we call the cannabis adjacent, the people who... whose content isn't solely about cannabis, but we know that, you know, they're into it.
Yes.
And it just kind of naturally flows into that.
Yeah. Who's been your most memorable? If you had to say, that, like, the most memorable person that you worked with in PR that was just, like, it sticks in your mind. If you have to tell a story, that's the person you're telling about.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't know. I would have to say it's Jordan.
Jordan's a big personality.
Yeah. No, I mean, the cannabis industry, everyone's a character, really. Everyone's a character.
Yes.
It's great. It's great. I don't know. I can't really think of one real memorable one, disappointingly. So, sorry.
No, I always have to ask. We worked at a pretty big dispensary, I think you can say it now. We worked at the Beast, Planet 13, and we saw a lot of celebrities.
Yeah, you guys had, you know, the real celebs there.
Yeah,
you know?
It was kind
of
nuts.
We've had Tyson come through, you know, a couple of times, you know, in New York. What was it? Who came to the travel agency? It was like Amy Sedaris.
Oh, yeah.
Came through the travel agency. Yeah. So, you know, there have been a few things.
Yeah. So you guys have had a few touch points.
A few touch points.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But mostly, what do you deal with in Merino PR?
Well, so a lot of my work is running the cannabis PR practice. And so, you know, we work with MSOs, growers and brands, a lot of ancillary companies. We have a whole cannabis tech unit. We're working with like Dutchie and LeafLink. And then we've, as I mentioned, you know, we've kind of been part of this wave in New York and New Jersey. So we've launched multiple brands and brought them to market. We've worked and, you know, supported the launch of over 20 dispensaries in the New York and New Jersey market. And so like being there on like the ground floor, you know, after all this time, many years working in the industry, it's really gratifying to like see a new market take off. You know, like I'm not a California guy. I don't have that kind of street cred. I'm just a New York guy. But so, you know, I wasn't there when that, you know, market launched, or Colorado or whatever. So my vantage point's, you know, a little different. But it's been really awesome to watch the market take off. I mean, it's a fucked up market. We've got a long way to go. Though, you know, it's exciting to see like things like really moving. Like the last 6 months or so, it's like there's like 20, 30 dispensaries opening every month.
Yeah. Well, tech moves so fast. So I know with Dutchie, you guys, like, that is like a complete, we deal with Dutchie.
Dutchie, LeafLink, I do Dutchie and LeafLink.
Right. Yeah. And that's ever evolving. Yeah. Like there's always something new and something that's like, when they do changes, it's like drastic. You know what I mean? It's like huge. It's trying to make things just so much so easier, right, you know, for the touch and feel. So it's great.
Yeah. I think Dutchie launched 2.0, which is like, you know, has greater personalization and customer loyalty. Yeah. And then LeafLink launched like a new like payment system. So, you know, they're trying to evolve with the industry because it's always changing.
Yes.
You know? And that's, you know, again, that's part of why like it's not just PR anymore. You know, our work started as like just PR, but like it couldn't just be PR anymore, you know? So it's got to be like a full 360 kind of services.
Full integrated, exactly. And just like what you were talking about, how it all works in with the marketing and it's all working.
It's complicated.
All together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Complicated. Yes, very, very much so.
Yeah.
This market's so very like highly regulated. And I know that you guys have to deal with some of what restrains come with actually working with dispensaries and things of that nature. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience?
I mean, you know, like, you know, so, you know, so, you know, you guys are used to Nevada with these big sprawling stores, you know, right. So in New York, we're, you know, talking about, you know, small, like railroad, you know, style stores. And so one rule is that you can't see cannabis from the door, from the street. Because it's all sidewalks, right? Right? So, like, you can't see cannabis. So, like, you know, you have to either, like, frost it or black your windows or put them, like, behind a curtain or something like that. You can't have, like, a sandwich board sign outside your store. Yep. Like, every deli and restaurant, you're not allowed to do that. You know, obviously, you're not allowed to advertise through, you know, most. You can't have a billboard. I mean, some do.
They just started billboards in New York, right? It's like
they're just changing the marketing regs. So like up until now, there was a lot of things that you couldn't do.
Like it was wild for me on the way here seeing a Rove ad
on top of a taxi cab.
Yeah. I was like, wow, Rove, yeah, wow, that's great. Yeah,
we got the digital billboards and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,
we got everything there.
Yeah. Yes.
But then in New York, you can smoke anywhere.
That's different.
That's
right.
Because, yeah, you have to be an
illegal
resident.
Isn't that funny duality, right?
That's crazy.
What is the rule here? Because we've been walking around smoking everywhere. So
legally, you have to be in a private resident or like one of the smoking lounges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. Vegas, you're disappointing me.
But it's like, you know, just don't go blowing smoke in a cop face or passing joints to babies or anything like that.
Yeah. Passing joints to babies.
Yeah, we did it.
Stupid shit like that.
We did it by the Las Vegas Knights game. So it was okay.
You probably smell it everywhere you go. So you're like, man, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to just light up and see what happens.
Yeah. It's the second whiff you have. We walk out of Vegas, you're like, oh,
it really
smells not great and like weed.
But New York City, you guys got to come check it out. It smells like weed all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Everywhere you walk, it smells like weed. We had this crazy issue go on after we legalized cannabis. It was Governor Cuomo, and he legalized cannabis, and then he had like the whole controversy happen, and so like 6 months went by where nothing happened, right? Yeah. And so all these illegal stores started to pop up.
Yes.
Right?
I remember thousands, that shit on the news.
Thousands of fucking illegal stores. And, like, a lot of them are still open.
That's crazy.
It's so balls, man. It's crazy.
And if you're one of the licensed dispensaries that has to, you know, you can't even have a leaf on your window. Everything's behind a curtain.
That's right.
And you got Rick and Morty, like, down the street.
Yes.
You know, lit up and it says Zaza. Exactly. You know, it's not really exactly like a level playing field, yeah. But it's tough.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up.
It's tough. And, you know, and you can't advertise in that way. And I think that one of the most fun things that we see the dispensaries in New York City doing is that they're really creating experiences. They're having music play, yeah. They have comedy nights and things like that. So honestly, what we find very effective is we send like a comedian over to be an influencer for the comedy night, for a comedy show, because you can't advertise, you know, what you're selling, but you can't advertise your comedy show. Yeah. So.
Yes.
You got to get creative to show them, you know, what's behind that curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I always say is like, you need to bring people into the store not to buy weed. And then they'll buy weed.
Yeah.
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I read that you guys helped the like one of the first women-owned dispensaries open up in New York.
Yeah.
And like that, I think that just, it ties into like that storytelling, because that's like another, a natural story that's like already there. Like it's just, you just have to broadcast it. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first, of the first six dispensaries that we helped open in New York, and these were all justice involved applicants and mm-hmm. licensees. So they had, you know, gone to jail for cannabis crimes. So one of them was Jeremy Rivera, like real like hardcore gangbanger type of guy, you know, had been in jail for, you know, a little while. He opened Terp Rose, and it is an amazing store in Queens, in Astoria. And he's like a beautiful man with a beautiful family, wife and family and whatnot. And he's building like a great community out there.
That's great.
Then a couple months later, we helped open Dagmar, which is in Soho. And so that's Jennifer Czar. Fairly interesting story, like fashion photographer, had started dealing some weed, got in trouble with the law, and you know, that's how she got her license. So, you know, she's opened like an apothecary-style dispensary
nice.
In the heart of Soho. You know, and then another store that we work with is Verity Cannabis, which is in Chelsea. It was one of the first Jewish-owned dispensaries.
Nice.
And I'll tell you about my Jews and Weed event in a minute. That's a great dispensary, and that's actually what Dave was kind of talking about. He, you know, does concerts and comedy stuff, and like he's a real innovator in the scene. So it's an honor working with some of these folks who have, you know, amazing origin stories.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No. I think that that's just, it's just like, it contributes everything to the cannabis industry. What's nice about it is to know that even when you talk to people about PR or whatever, everybody has like really cool shit to say about working in the industry and very excited about what's to come. And I know the tech is just going to be crazy, right? And I mean, there's a lot to fear, too, because people are like, yeah, people are going to be put out of work, blah, 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 blah. I think that that's a normal thought process. But going there makes you a little bit more hopeful. Going to MJ BizCon is one of those things that just makes you more hopeful as a small business owner to actually go ahead and proceed with your dream, as opposed to holding back and not doing the thing, right? And just talk to everybody. Go to those little tables. I mean, you don't have to go see the person that, you know, makes the rolling machine. But, you know, you can definitely talk to some people about finance and things of that nature. Plus, they have, you know, wonderful breakout speakers and things of that nature. So you can learn a whole lot about what's going on in the cannabis industry. Are you guys engaging, doing anything fun while you're here for Vegas with MJ BizCon?
Well, first of all, we arrived yesterday,
okay.
And we went to the Sphere,
okay.
Which was dope.
Yeah.
And we had a really good dinner, and then we went to Meow Wolf. So, like, we kind of did it up that first night, yes. And that was really great just to do something a little more like touristy and local, which I don't usually get to do. And this is my sixth MJ BizCon. And so I'm glad Dave's here because it's doubling my team here at MJ Biz. So we can like do so much more. You know?
I was at at the Las Vegas Classic, a cannabis golf tournament outing today.
Yes.
That Marino and one of our clients, Zone Vapor, were involved with. And you know that was just so cool. I don't golf, but I like to chill and. And Blaze, that's what I got the opportunity to do, and just have the people you get to meet and the conversations you have. It's what a wonderful day, what a great way to start the day and to start this this experience.
Yeah,
dude. There's so many things.
Yeah. So many things.
Yeah, and then MJs, right? Yeah. So there's. Are you attending the MJs?
I'll be attending the MJs because we're nominated for Best PR Agency of the Year.
Let's go.
Yeah, so for the second year in a row, actually.
Wow.
So that's exciting. Nice. The MJs are exciting. I'm actually hosting an event on Thursday morning. It's the second annual Jews and Weed Bagel Bash.
I'm going to go.
Please go.
I got an invite, and I said I have to go to this because, amen, right? Like, thank goodness, right? Diversity in this industry is very, very important.
Exactly.
So, I was like, first of all, you guys are doing it at a smoke lounge, so like smoke and mirrors, right?
Yeah.
Excellent venue to do it.
So excited.
Yeah,
it's going to be, you know, our first one was in a suite at the Cosmo, which was great, but got very crowded. this may get crowded too, but it's exciting. We started the group after October 7th last year, I don't want to get into it, but the horrible attacks in Israel. And so, you know, I just wanted to create some community and like bring people together. Cause like I noticed that there was no Jews and Weed group. You know, there's like lots of other groups for different people in cannabis, but there was not like a Jews and Weed group. So it was nice to bring the community together. And so this is our second event. We did a Hanukkah event. We're doing a Hanukkah event in New York in a couple of weeks. So people seem to really respond to it and dig it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I certainly do.
Yeah.
I mean, I am not Jewish by measure, but I
all
literally.
Are welcome.
That's a, yes.
All are welcome.
Yeah. I am so excited about it. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's like, you don't have to be Jewish. You just can't be a hater.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. As long as you don't kill Jewish people.
I'm very much a congratulator by all measure. I'm super excited about it, too. I saw that come up, and that was one of the very first things I responded to. I'm not kidding. And MJ BizCon, because there's a list of shit. And you're like, nope. Can't make it. No recording. Oh man, what is this?
Bagels.
But I am spending all day tomorrow at the Chandelier Bar, which is part of my like annual thing where I sit there from like 11 till 5 and I just take meetings all day. Have you guys been to the Chandelier Bar during cannabis week? It's
No.
Oh.
No.
It's like where
that's
the
where
industry
it's at, huh?
chills. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it? I never knew that. Look at that. That's
noted,
that's some industry.
He's an OG. Yeah, 6 years.
Pro tip.
6 years. He know where to go.
Yeah. I know I've spent a lot of fucking money at the Chandelier Bar just before any kind of event that happens there. So, yeah. But it's wonderful. I love that. I think that it's a great thing. I think people loosen up more. Get them out of there. Get them out of that, like, you know, stiff shirt situation and actually have some good open conversations, you know, about people. How people feel about this industry, how we can evolve the industry. Let's stop bitching about the industry and do what's right for the industry, right? So I think there's a lot of things to do and there's a lot to be said. When I leave, I know that I always get to pick up something really great from a speaker there. And so you get those speaking events. Plus, the displays, Dutchie alone. I every time I'm there, I'm like, I try to think how much they spent to pay for that fucking space that they have. I'm like, fucking 30 G's or some shit. And they're like, no, actually, it's not. But yeah, I'm super glad to be in this space with you guys. I'm really, really grateful for what you guys bring to the industry. And I think it's really good to get a better understanding of what PR actually means in the cannabis industry. Like, it's not just what people think PR is. There's a lot of different, you know, areas and avenues to that. And I think that, you know, people, answer your emails too, because it could be a PR representative wanting to do a PR podcast. Right. And then look at this is what happens. So it's been, you know, it's been a great venture.
Getting deep yes. on cannabis.
You
PR.
Guys have done the Sphere.
Sphere, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing all the checklists for Vegas, all the wonderful things. You did the golfing tournament. So MJs are coming up. Mm-hmm. We're having some wonderful after party events. Yeah. Yeah. That last the MJs after the MJs, the MJs after party.
That's where it's going to be at.
Yeah. That is looks, where it's at.
That looks good.
Yeah. For real.
So there's so many events, though. Yes. I mean, you know, it starts tonight, really.
Yes.
There's several events that have already started.
Everybody's exhausted already talking about it. They're like,
I mean, I've been here for 24 hours. I'm already exhausted. Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's a marathon, guys. It's a marathon. Yeah.
Get a second wind.
It's a marathon, yeah.
Especially if you have a booth or something. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, shout out to the people and those doing
it. Totally. Shout out to the people who, like, build the booths, design the booths, to your point there. I mean, Dutchy does a very impressive display. Yeah. Some of the joint rolling machines always do the big displays.
Oh, my God. Dude, one of the best things I love to – how do I just stand there? My ADHD goes insane. I'm like, I'm going to watch 50 joints being made right now. No, but I think that that's, like, the fun part, too, because – on top of, like, yes, there's, let's get to the meat and potatoes. You know, I'm here to network and, you know, learn how to expand my business. But there's also some really great things to look at and learn and break down in the industry. And if you work in the industry, please do, like our friends here, and learn a little bit about terpenes, because it's a game changer in the cannabis industry. And I think it's going to, like, change the way you smoke cannabis. And that's kind of huge once you understand it.
I mean, I happen to agree with that, not just from the fact that I've, you know, worked with clients in the space, but, you know, there's such a focus on potency. I mean, you guys know this, right? Yeah. There's such a focus on potency, and it's not all about potency. It's about, like, the minor cannabinoids. It's about the terpenes, and we're only just beginning to understand that. I mean, you know, I spend a lot of my time talking about rescheduling. I don't know if you guys, you know, chat about that much these days, but, you know, if we reschedule, then there'll be research, and we can finally learn more about this plant.
Research and resources. There'll be more resources.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yep. Better, more efficient. People are able to, you know, utilize all those billions of dollars worth of equipment to learn more about this plant, which I think is going to be the absolute game changer for healthcare, period. And I think it's going to be just a really great thing. And that's when you guys are going to be like, bah! Marino PR!
Have I got a story for you?
Oh, man, you guys, we appreciate you guys hopping on with this.
Thank you.
This has been amazing, a pleasure. But before we let you go, we have to know, if me and Rocky come to New York, what's the one strain that we have to find and smoke? Like, what's your go-to?
I mean,
or brand.
I mean, you know, Diesel, New Yorkie.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Sour D.
Typical New York.
Yeah, just got to go.
But what I would say is that New York's having a lot of really cool product innovation. I'll highlight one of our clients, Heirloom. They're built on a company that's an upstate New York apple orchard. They make ciders. They have a distillery, and they started growing hemp, and now they have all these cannabis products, and they focus a lot on beverages. And so they make some of the tastiest cannabis beverages.
Really, yeah.
And I think that New York and beverages are, like, very synonymous. And, you know, we could do a whole episode on the future of cannabis beverages because I'm real bullish on it. And I think that, like, there's a big opportunity there. I know they haven't, you know, really found their place yet. But I think in New York they might. So when you come to New York, try it. Try a beverage.
Oh, yeah.
Watch after a few months of having the beverages and stuff in New York, people are going to be talking about, like, nano emulsification. Like, was this nano emulsified?
Yeah.
Am I going to get high in 5 seconds or not? No, but I think that that's great. Like, I think that that's one thing about New York is that the innovative part of New York is always going to be there. So I'm looking forward to what they bring to the industry.
Yeah. Can't wait to take you guys around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be dope.
Jarrell, what you been smoking on, man?
Some Cap Junkie.
Cap Junkie?
Yeah, from Edison.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's one of my go-tos.
I love Cap Junkie.
I love Cap Junkie.
Yeah, you said that shit and I was like, yes, sir.
Sounds like we got to get some Cap
Junkie. Yeah. Yes. Where's the Cap Junkie?
We were smoking.
What you been smoking, Rocky?
Kush Mints from Circle S Farms.
That's what we just smoked just now?
Yes. Okay. They know how to do it right, I feel like. I think they did a really good job. They actually made me stupid for a little hot minute there. I was like, hey, thanks. But
you pulled it together well.
Thank you. Really great stuff. If you guys get a chance, stop at Canistars. They have some really good Circle S Farms there. We want to thank you guys for being on the show for sure. If anybody wants to learn more about how they can get involved with Merino PR, how do they reach out?
Well, you can visit our website, merinopr.com. You can email at cannabis@merinopr.com. And I will get that.
And you can find us on LinkedIn at Merino PR also. You can find us on LinkedIn there and on Instagram, Merino PR. We keep it real consistent. On LinkedIn, you can find me. I'm David Kushner. But on Instagram, I'm Dave.Kush, K-U-S-H.
Excellent. We are always at High Butt Tenders at all things social media. You can find us there always. You can also go to www.highbutttenders.com to check us out online. We have the podcast there. You can pick up some really great merchandise online. We have some really great sponsorships we're working with, so you want to check those out, especially for the holiday season. And we're going to have, and I know I've been saying this, but when we do it, it's really, big. Really big. We're doing a really big giveaway right before Christmas, and that'll run through right through Christmas. And then we'll pick our winner on Christmas Day and let you guys know who the winner of that will be. We want to thank you folks for listening and watching. I really love what's been happening on the airwaves, man, for us. So I appreciate
thing.
It. Yes, our
been doing a damn
our
thing.
Demographics, we're looking good.
Good vibes.
And so that's all thanks to our listeners and people watching on YouTube. We want to thank you folks for listening. And as always, stay high, buttenders.
I do this shit for Vegas. About to shut the world down. World domination. World ain't ready for the town. We are in abomination.
What's up, people? This is Rocky from High Butt Tenders Podcast. And we are here with Harrison Bart from the Cone Bar and Custom Cones USA.com at the MJ BizCon right now. And it's very, very popping. So, tell us a little bit about Custom Cones.
Yeah, so Custom Cones USA is the leading provider of all sorts of pre-roll products.
We're known for testing. So everything is fully compliant, tested for heavy metals, pesticides, microbials. But if you're buying the palm leaf blunts, I would be very weary of those. If you just look up like palm leaf blunt recall, there's a lot of recalls that happened in Colorado in the licensed area where there was heavy metals, pesticides, and microbials. So the hemp wrap option is better, cleaner, safer burning option if you're looking for that.
Do you still get the quality so quality slow burning?
Yeah, you get that slow burn. Excellent. Fuller flavor, and then the premium tips really help elevate the smoking experience, smooth it out, cool it down.
Excellent. I'm a roller and I love it. Anytime I can find something that's easy, the problem is that a lot of it's remedial, like it's just the regular papers, and I like something like this where I don't have to break down a tobacco cigar and be stuck with all that. Plus it makes me a little nauseous.
Yeah.
So I always look for quality hemp papers. If somebody was owner for a dispensary or somebody wanted to know a little bit more about your cones and items that you sell, how can they find out a little bit?
Yeah, so we would love to partner with any dispensary to sell these. Daysavers.com is the website there. We have all of these products. The Smoke Temple and the Philip Blunts are all through daysavers.com. We also sell just the tips by themselves. So this is mostly if you're not good at rolling, easy to fill, or you're maybe a little tired. But we do sell the tips loose as well. So this is a 3-pack of the glass tips, but we also sell 3-packs of the ceramic tips, wood tips, and the flavored wooden tips too. If you're good at rolling.
Excellent.
Depends on the occasion.
You guys thought of all the things, man.
Yeah, but we're always coming out with new stuff. So
awesome.
Yep.
That's great.
Keep looking at the website.
All right, folks. So check them out. Definitely. It's something new, interesting, and fun for the dispensary. Not to typical brand. When do you find cross clones that you could stuff yourself?
Exactly.
Come on, man. That's like a no-brainer, guys. Check them out. Bloodtenders, if you're watching, get your dispensaries to get this stuff in, man. We need these types of things. Give us a little bit more variety.
Yeah, reach out to us. We'll send samples to the dispensary for you to try out. And then we're actually doing something really cool. It's a new botanical blunt testing program. So there's hemp wrap, which is made from hemp. But we're coming out with a wrap made from lavender, one made from chamomile, and one made from lemongrass.
Nice.
And we're looking for people to give us feedback and tell us how they smoke, how they like it. So for $5, you can get 3 wraps of each of those, lavender, chamomile, and lemongrass. And if you smoke them and fill out a survey, then we'll give you $5 store credit. So it's essentially free as long as you're willing to be a tester and smoke for science and for new product development.
Heck yeah.
And those are really interesting because you get the real, the linalool from the lavender. Chamomile also has linalool and another terpene that's like really relaxing sedative. And then lemongrass too has like a little bit of everything. It's got the limonene and some other the terpenes. Yeah, it's really tasty.
Very important. And like you said, adds the flavor.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rocky.
We really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
StaySavers.com and CustomConesUSA.com.
Stay high, butt tenders.